Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/letstalk. All right, y'all. Hey, what's going on out there? How y'all doing today? I hope everybody's having a great day and everybody had a great weekend. That's right. That's right, y'all. Hey, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And today we have an outstanding show planned for you. Man, I have so much to talk about. It's just almost, it's just almost crazy. And, man, I don't know. You know, we got the Michael Brown services we're going to talk a little bit about. Because that was very, very interesting. If you didn't watch it, I'm sure you can find it online somewhere. I really do suggest you watch it because it was touching, but yet still interesting, you know. And that was good. I also want to wish everyone out there in Northern California, wherever the earthquake hit, you know, hope everybody was okay. For all our listeners out there, hope, you know, you came through with not much damage, if any, and everybody as well. Yes, sir. Then we got a journalist that was released. Yeah, y'all know I'm going to have to hit that, right? I'm going to have to just, I'm going to have to touch on that one. I am. Oh, man. And this is so much more, so much more. So, you know, we might as well sit back and get ready for an outstanding show because it's really, 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 really going to happen. That's for sure. I want to give a yell to Kickstart Biz. Welcome to the show, man. I'm glad you could make it. You know, you're the first one in. That's always a good thing. Always a good thing. All right. Once again, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by audibletrial.com/letstalk. And we'd like to thank you. If you want to be a part of the show today, no problem. Just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. You can always join us in our chat room, which is never short on conversation. And all they do is log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And you get into the chat room, and you can come in as a guest, or it's better, I feel it's better if you come in as, you know, with a username. Number one, I get to see who I'm talking to. And number two, if you come in as a guest, you don't have any privileges except for to sit there and listen, I mean, look and see what's going on. But if you come in with a username, you get to participate in the conversation that's going on in the chat room also, which may help you get something on the air. Also, this is Let's Talk, and no topic is off limits. Today is Monday. It's Monday. That's the topic. We mean we have open conversation, open forum, and if I, you know, if you got something that you've been thinking about over the weekend or something just happened you want to talk about, one thing you do is just give us a call and we can talk about it. No topic is off limits. The only thing we do ask that you, when you do call in, you be respectful and you act as an adult, and everything is peachy keen. Now, let's get it honestly, though. Let's say, be honest with you. If you don't do, you know, call in act as an adult or act like you got good sense, as the old folks used to say, then, you know, we will accommodate you in helping you, helping you realize what good sense is. Okay? But other than that, hey, just respect each other and let's have a conversation, not an argument. You know, I think a lot of individuals get the two mixed up. I really do. I think they get the two mixed up. And it's always, I know there's passion with some when it comes to certain topics. And I do understand that, you know. But remember, it's not personal. It's not personal. And I don't want you to take it as being personal. I don't. You know, what I do want, though, is for us to have a conversation that is a conversation, you know, a dialogue, know, where we present specific items, problems, or what have you, and topics on, you know, we discuss it, and hopefully we can come up with some, you know, we can mention some solutions to the area. Also, I mean, to we can mention some solutions to the issues that we bring up. Now, let's be honest, you know, everything is not going to have an immediate solution to it, because before you come up with a solution, you have to have a dialogue about it. And so I want everyone to remember that when we get ready to start talking about whatever it is we're going to talk about. All right? So I just thought I'd put that out there so everybody be aware of what's really going on. All right, man, I tell you. Once again, I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. My weekend was just outstanding, you know, nice weather, family, just chill. And y'all know what? Today is the first day of school here, and I am so, so, so happy. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I'll tell you, I am so happy. My mini-me went to school this morning. I was like, yeah, buddy. I told him, I took a picture, told him I'm put his picture on Facebook. He said, no, Daddy, don't put my picture on Facebook. I said, how you going to know? How you going to stop me?
Because I'm telling you.
Yeah, right, okay. Can't argue with him like his dad. He's camera shy. But I may still put it on there. I don't know. But it's that time of the year. It has begun. And yay. Woo. Freedom. All right. Anyway. So, anyway, with this being the start of the first day of school here, man, I had to pick up, I had to do a song that got you going, you get your little dancey in and all that good stuff. And I couldn't help it because I had to. I had to because that's what I felt like doing today, dancing. I was so happy, man. I think I doubled my weight. I doubled my weight lifting today. I was so happy, had so much energy. Had to get it out. So that was all good. All good in the neighborhood. And guess 1441, you're right. Something about BTR just brings things out in them. You're right. And hopefully we can, you know, it's all good. Well, we know it's not all good, but we try and work with them anyway. That is so true. All right, so without further ado, man, I think I've talked enough, and I got a good one for you today. It's Chinese Checker. For you line dancing individuals, it's your chance to get up or do your little dance in your cubicles or what have you, because I'm going to be doing it here in the chair. That's for sure. I'm going to get up and just do it. I don't have to worry about it. Just staying where I am. All right? So without further ado, man, here's your song of the day, Chinese Checkers. Chinese Checkers.
Yeah.
right, y'all. Hey, that was it. That was it right there. Chinese checker. Chinese checkers. Yeah, that was your song of the day. I'm telling you. I don't know. To me, there's something wrong with my sound, man. I'm trying to arrange this sound thing. Maybe it's just my brain just not acting, listening right. But anyway, welcome to the show, y'all. That's right. We are here today. And today we will have a great conversation because you, the caller, the listener, you get to decide what we talk about most of the time. And I did say most of the time because some of the time I'm going to have to come up with something. That don't sound right. All right. Anyway, I'm trying to get it right. I'm trying to get it right. Okay, maybe that's better. Okay. Anyway, so once again, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And today, this is a show with no limits. No way. We have limits. We just, how can I say? The topics are no topics is off limits. But anyway, we'll get to that in a little bit. All right, we got a quote of the day coming up, and wow. I've been given two great ones, and I don't know which one I want to use, so I think I use this one. A word to the wise ain't necessary. It's the stupid ones that need the advice. Now, that's one heck of a quote of the day, huh? Woo! A word to the wise ain't necessary. It's the stupid ones that need the advice. I'm telling you. And you know what? The scary part is that is so, so, so true. But I would say also, you can't fix stupid. That's another one, man. You just can't fix stupid. You can't. There's no way you can fix stupid. Even though we like to try, we can't do it. We can't do it. All right, it's time for the shout-outs, man. It's time for the shout-outs. And let's see, in our chat room, we got the soul of SS Smelly Prize 3013. Well, welcome to the show. I think you a newbie or you somebody perpetrating to be a new. But anyway, welcome to the show. Glad to have you. Of course, we have the vivacious Divine Design in the house. I'm glad to see you there also. Okay, I'll get back. Captain Smell Good, Soul Good. All right, welcome to the show, sir. I'm glad to have you. We got guest 1264. And, of course, we have the guest 1441. I know who you are. And then, of course, we have the Mr. Reliable Kickstart Biz in the house. All right. And then on the switchboards, we have Divine Queen 1. Hi, how you doing? And then, of course, we have the anonymous 111. I got an idea who those are, too. But anyway, I'm glad to have everybody and everybody else out there listening in your different devices. Welcome to the show. And I hope everybody has a good time, good time, good time. All right, so let's get to talking about some things here. And, you know, I was going to start it off with the Michael Brown services today, and I think I still will. But I want to touch on this beheading thing, you know, because all weekend, you know, I've been looking at this video. I've been really trying to break down this video. And the more I look at this video, of this so-called beheading, the more I have come to the realization, it's not real. It's not real. It's not. You know, there was a interview, supposed interview with siblings, and I placed it on my Facebook page. And the siblings aren't even upset. You know, actually, they're smiling and laughing and. I mean, they just learned their brother, one of their siblings, just had his head cut off. Number two, you know, you're using this little like a steak knife to cut somebody's head. you know, that's not really. Number three, if I know I'm about to get my head cut off, now listen, I would not be reading nothing so calmly as this guy was reading the little thing in front of him. Kill me. You're going to kill me anyway. Just going to kill me because I'm not reading that. Number four, if you really look at this video and you look at the way the guy is standing behind him as if he's holding the shirt of the guy, of Foley, why isn't Foley struggling? Once again, I'm not understanding that. Why isn't he struggling? Hey, you're going to kill me anyway, so it really don't matter how I die. I'm going to die struggling. Just observations that I have noticed. And then they show the head. I mean, they show the body without the head. And if you pay attention to the feet aren't bound or anything. The shoes are off. Once again, why aren't I trying to get away? Why wasn't he trying to get away? You know, being a veteran, you know, that's one of the first things you're told. If you can escape, escape. You know, do what you're going to do. Now, I know they finna sit there and try and saw my head off. I'm sorry. You're going to have to shoot me because I'm breaking forward. And if it's just this, these two people there, one's holding the camera. The other one is first talking without anything in their hand. I want to see how what kind of shots you are because I'm about to run. I know some of y'all say, well, he was in the desert. Look, that's another great point. You were sitting there. We were in the desert. I'm not understanding. Because usually when you have these beheading video stuff, you have about 100 people. Well, I ain't going to say 100, but at least 6-7 people in a room, and you have their flag behind them, and, you know, they have a kind of bigger blade than what they had right there. So all this smells of bull crap. I'm just going to put it out there. It smells bull crap. Then, after all this goes on, all of a sudden, we get one journalist back, Peter Curtis, who was kidnapped 2 years ago in Syria. We got him back. Oh, we got him back. The Qatari helped with the mediation, and they handed him over to a United Nations representative in Syria. What the heck is going on, y'all? What is really going on? One is supposedly beheaded, and then we get another one back from that's been there the same amount of time. What is really going on? I'm going to tell you what's going on. Bull crap. They're pulling the wool. It's not even pulling the wool over our eyes anymore. They're just telling us we dumb. Believe your lying eyes because we going to make your lying eyes to tell you the truth. You believe what you see. Well, y'all, you know what? That's good. If that's what you want to do. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But I'm not buying it. The more I look at it, the more I dig into it, it's a bunch of bull crap. It is. I know guest 1441 probably thinking, well, Mr. Talk, you know it was Photoshop. Maybe it was. Maybe it was. But how can you explain letting one be killed and another one and you release another one and then you put out, oh, yeah, by the way, we're working to get the others released. But wait a minute. We don't. We do not. We do not negotiate with terrorists, right? Isn't that what we're told? We do not negotiate with terrorists. Wow! I tell you, it's just such an amazing thing, such an amazing, amazing thing. But it's all good. It's all good. We know it. It is what it is. All right. So we have some issues here. For some reason, I got a frozen board once again. I can't stand it when that happens. Oh, man. I don't know why this happens. But anyway, we're going to keep talking. We're going to keep talking. All right. So if any of you have your hands up, give me a few moments to figure out why is it doing what it's doing? And then we'll come back to you, okay? Oh, Lord have mercy. I know some of you say, go ahead and refresh. Well, I'm trying to refresh, you know. But that's the way I feel about the beheadings and things, because it just didn't make any sense. It doesn't. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And, you know, it's just a bunch of bull crap. That's it. So we're going to keep our eyes on that and see how many more we can get released. What about the one that's still over there? What's his name? The Steve Joel Sokoloff. What about him? Are we going to negotiate under the table or have somebody else negotiate, mediate for us to bring him back before he gets his head chopped off? Yeah, okay. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, if we're going to go, if we're going to fall for it, then we're going to fall for it. I don't know. I don't know. Do what you do, y'all. Just do what you do. All right, let's move on here for a little bit. I don't even know what my time is anymore. All right, so let's move on to the Michael Brown services. Now, I watched this on CNN, and, you know, it was really a combination of a going home service, as we like to say, and a political rally. I'm just going to go on and throw it out there like that, okay? Because, man, you had 4,500 people at this service. 4,500 people. Golly. 4,500 people. And I don't know this, but I'm pretty good thought process would tell me that 4,500 people did not know Michael Brown. Okay. I'm just saying, I don't know for sure. So maybe. But then again, who knows? Who knows? All right. And then we had people, man, I'm telling you, wow. Had Spike Lee, Jesse Jackson. You had Tom Joyner, P. Diddy. You know, of course, you had Al Sharpton. And you had a whole bunch of other people. Now, were they there for really to send this young man off? Or were they there for the spectacle that it could have been? Now, of course, y'all know I've been hard on the poverty pimps. I really have. Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, those cats right there, I've really been, you know, I'm hard on those guys. You know, they poverty pimps to me. But I must admit, when Al Sharpton got up, he did make some very, very valid points. Because his statement was not just one-sided. You know, and I think that is what really stood out to me. Because although he did get his political jabs in about the police department, he did not let the black community off the hook either. I believe when he did that was one of the best things he could have done. To let the black community know that although, yes, this is a tragedy, yes, these things happen to us, yes, it happens all across the nation. It happens. No, there's an incident in Forney, Texas, where a black woman was taken out her car, handcuffed, and then her children were taken out the car again, gunpoint. You know, there was another case where a black grandmother was beaten by a white policeman in California. So to say it doesn't happen would be naive and just dumb. because it happens. And in those cases, in those two cases, it most definitely was, you know, for older, overzealous officers, law enforcement. So there is a problem with law enforcement as far as racial understanding and racial profiling. We know this. That's nothing new for us. It's not. But what we must understand is, in the black community, we must stop. In many instances, we have to stop placing ourselves in certain situations that protagonize and encourage the mistreatment of our young brothers and sisters. Prime example, there was some party Chris Brown was having over the weekend. And everybody know who Suge Knight is. He was involved in the Tupac shooting, what have you. There was a shooting. He was shot. You know, can we say somebody white did it? Probably not. Can we say somebody black did it? Probably. You know, it is so much going on that it's just amazing. You know, and it was amazing because Al Sharpton, he said this one line that I really thought was interesting. And he said, "You don't understand that Michael Brown does not want to be remembered for a riot. He wants to be remembered as the one that made America deal with how we're going to police in the United States." Did you hear that? Did you hear that? How we're going to police in the United States. You know, and just the way the crowd reacted when he said that was just amazing. But he also went on to say, we not only have to hold law enforcement feet to the fire. Now, I'm paraphrasing, okay? But the black community as well. You can't say you want justice. You can't say you're fed up and tired of things when you out there destroying at the same time. When you're out there shooting each other, killing each other. You know, one family member said, if we had more of this, referring to the audience and then motioning to Brown's casket, we could have less of this. It shouldn't have took this to get us together like this. And that's true. Why is it always a tragedy that gets the black community up in arms? Why can't we do this just because? Why? Why can't we do that? We're so good oh my goodness. We're so good at reacting. When are we going to be proactive? When are we going to be proactive? It's fine. You know, you have killings all around the nation. All the time. There was one in Los Angeles this weekend. A 30-year-old male and a 29-year-old female or something like that. They still haven't found the killers for that. They were both black. Yeah, let's see. There are some other ones out there I read about. But my point is this. Yes, Michael Brown, you know, the discussion is, how can I say, the discussion has always been around because we talk about it quite often, and there's a lot of discussion about it on BTR as well. But now it's in the forefront. It's out there. It's out there. Now, the question lies, though, since it's out there, are we going to let it die? You know? Once it's all over with, once it's all over, you know, the hoopla is over, everybody goes home, and all of the protesting stops, then what happens? Then what happens? Are we once again going to wait till another tragedy happen? Are we once again going to wait till one of our young black youth are killed? And then once again, we up in arms again and talking about this thing all over again. Doing the same thing. Now, let's not get it twisted. A lot of those that were at the services, they weren't there to support anything. A lot of them were there to grandstand. And honestly, I do like what the minister said, the pastor of the church said, you know, for those that came and that's on the program, and if we skip over you, it's okay. We have church Sunday. Come back and worship, and you can have your time then. I love that. I really do. Because he let them know, you will not get up here and grandstand just because you who you are. No, this is not about that. It's not. And it should never be about that. But although we do know that... We do know that we have those poverty pimps out there. We have those rebel raisers and them hell raisers out there that will start anything at any time just for the notoriety. And not just for the notoriety, but for, how can I put it? not just for notoriety, but just to keep the negative connotation on what should be a positive situation. You know, no parent should ever have to bury their child. That's not the way it's supposed to work. It's not. You know, that's not the way it's supposed to work. Over controversial circumstances. You know, dealing with grief normally is one of those things that's hard enough of a normal death. But once you have to deal with the loss of a child and to include controversy and public ridicule and I do feel for the family because it's hard. Grief is hard by itself without including all this other stuff. Because let's not forget, we still have the grand jury that has to be dealt with. You know, which is going on already. And this grand jury was not specifically picked for this case. You know, they were convened in May. All right? They were convened in May. 9 white and 3 blacks. Yeah, 9 whites and 3 blacks. It's amazing, man. I'm telling you. No, 6 white men. 3 white women, 2 black women, and 1 black man. That is the grand jury. Those are the people that have to hear the evidence, that we listen to the evidence presented to them about this case and must make a decision whether to take this to trial or not. Now, I know some of you say, well, if they don't take it to trial, it's a travesty. Maybe. Maybe not. But, you know, we can give our comments and speculations, and we can say this and we can say that. But as I mentioned before, when we was talking about last week, we have all these videos after what went on. You know, you have a lot of people who are telling you what they saw and how it went down from beginning to the end. But there's no video of it. You know, and the reason why I'm saying this is because, you know, as a person and as a witness, you know, even though you are looking at something, and I know this is going to sound crazy, you're not really paying attention to it. Now, if you already have a pre-positioned mindset that cops aren't any good, what you see out there is the cop being wrong. Now, if you see that you think that all young men are thugs, then you're going to say the young man was wrong. You know, and as witnesses, our minds are so strong, and a lot of us don't understand that although we're looking at one thing, our mind is already telling us what we're looking at. It may not be right. It may not be wrong. But it is what it's going to do. How do we fix this? I don't know. We just have to let it play out and see. Some of y'all going to say, well, here we go, another Trayvon Martin. Here we go. Well, if the evidence leads to that, that's what the evidence leads to. Because you have to remember, it's not about us. We will, regardless, go about our daily lives. I'll come on the air and talk about it. You come on, listen, give your opinions, and we're going about our business. But when you're talking about that family and the grief, you know, the grieving process, oh, it's a terrible thing. It is. It's a terrible thing. And, you know, the more it's played out, the more it's drug out, the worse it's going to be. It is. The worst it's going to be. And I know some of y'all are like, well, Mr. Talk, how do you know so much about this grieving thing? Because I know. I buried a younger brother. I buried my mother, and I buried my father. And I buried the lady I considered my second mom. And I did all this within a 3.5-year period. So, yes, I know about the grieving. And it's not easy. So, as I say, I really do feel for this family, because this family is just, they're going through, and they will go through. You know, most people say, well, it'll be all right. No, it won't be all right. You know, it will not be all right. Yeah. You know, we tell ourselves, yeah, it's going to be all right, but it's not all right. Because you're always wondering, what if I did this right? What if I was there? What if, you know, in this case, you know, what could I have done to keep my son from being shot down in the street that day? And that's what they're asking themselves. She had a visit from Trayvon Martin's mother, whom herself has not begun to really grieve yet. Of course, everybody grieves in different ways, but, you know, it's hard. And I'm saying all this to say this. You know, this is going to be something. And before everybody, you know, go ahead and start, you know, claiming, you know, it's a cover up, it's racial this, is that. Let's see what the facts come out. You know, let's see what really comes out. Because you have so many different people right now with so many different stories of what happened. Man, it's crazy. And you have others out there that have actually seen a lot that are afraid to come forward. So that's a whole different element that needs to be discussed or needs to be looked at, because that may have the missing pieces. Like I always say in things like this, there's three sides of this thing: the officer side, the kid side, which is Michael Brown, and what really happened. Well, two of those will never be known. because we do know Michael Brown is no longer with us, which means from listening to his side of it, to put the real truth together just is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. All right. We need to stop making all that noise. But and that is where everything is going to fall apart at. I don't think it's going to fall apart, but it is what's going to happen. Now, once again, I do apologize for those that may have your hands up or making comments in the chat room. For some reason, my screen is frozen, and I'm trying to give it time to do whatever it needs to do. So if you have any comments, hit me up on the email at ericletstalk@gmail.com, and I'll read your comments out over the air, okay? Once again, I do apologize. Because I don't know what's really going on right now, but we're gonna continue on with the show. I don't know whether my little crazy computer is just deciding to do whatever it wants to do. This is crazy. But you know, that is exactly what's going on now. Is there anything we can do about it? I don't think so. But sit down and pay attention to what's really happening. To what's really happening. And then we have to talk about the warmongers, those that's always wanting to go to war with someone: John McCain and Lindsey Graham. Now, not only do they want us to go and bomb ISIS in Syria, you know, move all of the bombing attack over to Syria, they also would approve boots on the ground. You see that? Boots on the ground. They want to put boots on the ground in Syria. Not only do we, oh my goodness, in Syria. Why? Please tell me why. Haven't we learned enough from Iraq and Afghanistan? And didn't we learn enough when we went to Africa? Why do we have to put boots on the ground? Why? That's not necessary. But yet, that's what they want us to do. These two individuals, it's not that they have children or anything like that there. It's not. It's just crazy. All right, let's see. I'm working on something here, and I don't know if this is going to work or not, but we're going to try. Let me see. Area code 323, welcome to the show. What you got for me?
Hello. How are you doing tonight? I'm really enjoying, today actually, I'm enjoying the show. This is the first time I'm catching it. I'm surprised that I've never caught this before because it's so much insight, and I feel what you're saying. I totally understand where you're coming from in regards to the grief and in regards to what's going on just particularly just in Ferguson right now. But you did say that what can we do to change, and you said that you really don't know what it is, right? Is that what you said?
Yes, I did say that.
Okay. So just my opinion, I also have a show on Blog Talk. So for the last 2-3 weeks, we've been talking about this kind of things. And it's crazy because I was actually in the same mindset as you before a couple of callers actually called into the show and who were actually out there in Missouri after protesting, seeing everything that was going on. And my first perspective was, well, we don't know the truth. We don't know if he really did what he did, or if the officer was being racist or whatever the case may be. But then when you go on Instagram and Twitter and you see people who's really out there in Ferguson, Missouri, and they're really out there protesting, and they have cops on camera saying, get back before I ask and kill you, or stop effing filming me. Like, these are cops on camera with no badges saying this, pointing AKs and the different guns and tear gas, all this crazy stuff. It kind of makes you sit back and say, this is a problem, because for the situation to rise so freaking quickly with a population of less than 85,000 people, and for you to bring in these tanks and the National Guard, all this crazy stuff, it does make you wonder. Then I'm looking for the black police officers. I'm looking for them in the crowd. I'm looking at the stories on the news and everything. The only black person that I see is Captain John. That's the only one that I see on there. So another situation that I'm coming to is like, well, I can't be blind anymore. I'm 21 years old. I'm still the baby. I still got a whole life to live. I'm still trying to go to school and, you know, get my life together. But in the last 2-3 weeks, I've awakened to the truth. And it's crazy because I have been like the 21-year-olds in my life, singing to those rap musics and trying to buy the clothes like everybody and trying to be of the world and not be my own person. And this situation, I would hope that it's a situation that everyone else can understand and grow from, because this has really opened my eyes and it's made me actually want to completely do a 360 on my entire Blog Talk Radio. I mean, I've been doing this for a year and 6 months, and just within the last month, I started changing up and started doing things. Now I'm looking at my status, my numbers and stuff, and I'm like, wow. So when I was being ratchet and ghetto and just entertaining, everybody was on the show. Everybody was calling. They wanted to listen. Okay. Great ratings. But now that I'm speaking some real stuff, don't know why I want to listen. So then I have to go out and venture and find more people like you who are like-minded and who are doing the same type of thing, trying to educate and teach the world. And now I'm starting to get a lot more reviews, not as many, but I'm getting more educated opinions on the show, educating people who's telling me the deal, whether they're actually in Ferguson or they're not. They deal with something in their own city or country. So at this point in time, in regards to just what can we do to change, I personally think that it starts with yourself. You have to first educate yourself and learn the true history of our ancestors. Then you talk to your family, you discuss with your family, you show them your findings, you educate them. And hopefully just from within that, if you have a big family like I do, then you can grow to prosper and you can start teaching other people in your neighborhoods and your communities, other little black kids that are growing up. Because honestly, like I said, I'm 21. My generation is done. It's going to be really, really hard for me to try to get through my friends and family my age. And I've stopped doing it because they don't want to listen. They want to say, oh, you're being fake, or you wasn't like this 3 weeks ago. Of course I wasn't, because I'm changing. I'm growing. You don't want to listen to what I'm saying, and you want to just disagree with me and argue. And it's not about disagreeing or arguing. It's about having an open-ended conversation. You say something, I say something back. You don't believe me? Go research it for yourself. I'll research what you say. Let's come back and let's just put some facts here in perspective, okay? But no one wants to do that nowadays. So at this point, what I'm personally doing to help make the change, I'm now in my community talking to the different Black-owned businesses. I'm trying to get them to all come together and find a common ground or a place where the kids of this community can come together at least once a week. We could just talk, be ourselves. It doesn't just have to be African-American kids. Anyone who cares about the truth and wants to change and wants to get justice and respect for the Black community can come and do that. So that's just how I'm personally changing, and I'm seeing that a lot of people that were my friends, they're not my friends no more. They don't call me no more. They don't text me no more because they ask me, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. This is what I'm doing right now. I'm working for this, and I'm talking to this company, and I'm doing this. You going to help me? Oh, I wanted to see if you want to go out tonight. No, I'm good. I'll save my money. I'm not spending my money on the clubs no more, on drinking no more. I'm not doing that. I'm going to save my money and put in the community and help these babies out here, you know? So that's just what I wanted to speak on, because it's definitely something that I'm going really, really hard for, not just in my community, but I'm going hard online, I'm going hard on blog talk, and I'm starting to find people like you on here who I'm trying to connect with and really have a discussion. What you're talking about, you're so right. You're right in regards to the grand jury. That shit pisses me off, but let's be honest, that is America. Before they even came out with who was going to be grand jury, I knew that was going to happen. I just assumed it was only going to be one Black male and one Black female. So the fact that they do two women in there, whoa, okay? Because Black women talk a lot. A lot of Black men speak their piece, and then they're like, all right, I'm done. But Black women will fight, not necessarily harder, but they talk with emotion. So they will press your line until they feel as if what they're trying to say is being heard. So I would have hoped there'd be more Black people, but I'm just hoping that with the two Black women who are going to be in that jury and with that Black man, that they can make people see the real deal. But like I say, I believe in conspiracy theories. I believe that America does not like African Americans. They never have. And at that point in time, who knows what's going to happen. But even after this situation happens or dies down or whatever, we can't just go on about our lives and continue to listen to Beyonce and Rihanna and continue to buy their stuff and continue to eat at places like McDonald's and things like that. We have to change. And if this doesn't help people change, if Ferguson rising up doesn't help the rest of the world change, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to start talking to people with like minds. And I'm not even going to worry about the people who's my age or older who can't come to realize the truth because it's too hard. They're too stuck in their ways. You've got to teach these babies, and the babies are our future.
Wow. And yeah, you're right about that. I can't even argue with that. As far as the grand jury, you know, believe it or not, the grand jury is better. Okay, let me put it this way. St. Louis County is 70% white and 24% Black, okay, according to last year's census. Okay, so so with 30% on the grand jury, they're doing better already than they are in the community. But I mean, they are now.
Yeah.
You know, the question is, you know, because when you're on a grand jury, you're told, you know, don't pay, don't watch any news, what have you. But the question is now, how many of those people actually paid attention to those instructions? And living in that area, you know, that kind of makes it kind of difficult, because if they haven't seen it on television, I know they've heard someone talk about it, you know. But this whole thing goes back to one simple thing. No, as long as we keep it Black and white, Black and Asian white, whatever, as long as we keep it divided, we will never accomplish anything. It's just that simple. And I'm one of the first ones to say this country was built on division. So, you know, there's no denying that. You know, that's the way it has always been, and that's the way they prefer it to be. The government prefers it to be. But we have to do something, you know. And as you say, you know, going through our own neighborhoods and talking to our own Black businesses is good first step. But see, as I say, this conversation has to keep going. Now it can't just die. Mm-hmm. You know, it just can't keep dying. It needs to continue. You know, the dialogue needs to continue no matter what it takes. So, you know, the onus will still be there after all this is over with. But hold on. And I didn't get your name. What's your name, darling?
I'm sorry. I'm Stephanie.
All right, Stephanie. Well, welcome to the show. I'm glad to have you, and I hope you come back. I have another call on the line, so let me bring in Big Chris and see what he has to add to the conversation. What's up, Chris? How you doing?
You know, I'm doing better than yesterday. I'm all right.
Okay.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, man.
Yeah, Stephanie.
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for asking.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. A couple of things that were said from you, Mr. Talk. I, of course, don't be surprised. I don't agree with everything you say.
You
and
never
do. And what Al Sharpton said, I don't agree with what he said. You know?
Uh-huh.
The first thing Al Sharpton ran out of his mouth is, you know, there he is playing both sides of the fence and double standard things about he wanted everyone. You said, I was listening. You don't want everyone to make – Mike Brown does not want us to remember him by starting a riot, but by show, how the police is treating America. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. That's what you said. The police is not mistreating America. The police is treating black men. Every 29 hours – every 29 hours, a black man is killed by a new statistic today within the last 2 hours. A black man is killed by a security officer or a police officer. Not America. A white man is not killed every 29 hours and 5 minutes or anybody else. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing. That, you know, he talks that way. I mean, he's done great in his profession and what he's trying to do to bring everyone together and from different ideas and religions and races to come together here in America and live. But sometimes I believe in separation, the way Malcolm X used to teach. Hello?
Go ahead. I'm listening. Go for it.
I don't really believe that America needs to come together in order to live. Now, you were saying that sometimes, or Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson was saying, we can avoid some of these situations, you know, because most of the time it's our fault that we get caught in situations like this. At the same time, you were saying we need to avoid situations like this from not getting killed or shot. But, all right, where was Mike Brown in the wrong? He had his hands up saying, don't shoot me. You already shot me one time. Do not shoot. His hands were up. So how was that? I'm just a little confused. Maybe just me. How was he in the wrong? Or he put himself in a bad situation, no matter how he was dressed. It don't matter. If he was being stereotyped of the image of a dressed thug, or he had bad breath, he had stinky drawers or whatever, that's not the issue here. It was he was shy. He wasn't in the situation. He wasn't stirring up any controversy in that area. He wasn't cussing out nobody. He was not being aggressive. So that's my thing. And then, last but not least, why is George Zimmerman down in St. Louis? I don't know if y'all heard about this. He got arrested Saturday.
Yeah,
two police officers have him on videotape harassing two black kids. What situation were they involved in? Zimmerman walked out the store and walked up to them. Hey, get in the car. And they were saying, hey, we know who you are. We don't want no trouble. Leave me alone. The police arrest him, and then he's in custody in St. Louis. The other police officer, what made what made the black community make him have him to say the statements he said? He's a born again, he's a born Christian, but he's a killer. And anybody who stands in my way, I'll kill you. And went on and on and on with these other rants. But he's mm-hmm. been relieved of his duties in St. Louis. Not just him, but there are two others. One, they're not reporting and talking about. I do have people in St. Louis and friends that are close to what's going on down there. But a lot of this, I really have to say, this is a racist issue, and it has nothing to do with police attacking America. America and the police is attacking black men every 24 hours.
Okay. All right, Chris. I mean, I can't argue with that because that is true. However, you know, going back to what you were saying, what you asked me earlier, what was Michael Brown, how could Michael Brown have avoided this situation? Number one, walk on the sidewalk. Because that's originally what he stopped because he was in the street. So walk on the sidewalk. See how simple that was? Now, you know, don't get me wrong. There are some officers out there that are, you know, they just like bothering individuals. Let's go and put it that way. You know, you know, they just want to harass people, black folk. We know this. That's not a secret. But I still feel, you know, we have to educate our kids and let them know, you know, certain things you can't do. Because when you do, you place yourself in a position to be harassed. You know, I mean, it's just that simple. You walking down the middle of the street, come on now. Yeah, you have sidewalks on both sides. You see, and you know that automatically, you know, if a police is coming down, an officer is coming down the road, bam, you know, he's automatically going to, you know, especially if you won't get out the way. And let's be honest, Chris, you know, some of us, we walk in the middle of the street, we don't care who coming, we're not moving. They better go around, right?
Correct, right. But is that a reason for him to be shot? I mean, you know,
well,
if anything,
well,
you know, harass some scared little
Chris,
boy from,
Chris,
he was
Chris,
a college
like
student
said,
that was
Chris,
getting ready to go to college the next week.
Chris, like I said, Chris, there's three sides to the story, and two of them we will never know. We will never know. There's the officer's side, there's Brown's side, and there's what actually happened. Michael Brown is no longer here, which means we will never know what really happened because we only have one side of the story. Now, we have so-called witnesses that are telling their part, but then again, you know, your eyes play tricks on you because sometimes your mind tells you what you want to see or what will happen, and that happens all the time. It happens all the time.
Okay.
You know, there are psychologists and psychiatrists that would tell you that. It's not such an unusual thing. Many, many cases are thrown out just because the witnesses thought they saw one thing and it eventually didn't see anything. Okay, in fact, remember the movie My Cousin Vinny? Remember that movie?
I heard about it.
I mean, that's what, if you want to see that, what I'm talking about, that's a prime example. You know, once you get on that stand and you start being asked them questions and sometimes you didn't see what you think you saw. And as I've said already, we have plenty of video that shows him laying on the ground. We have plenty of videos showing the uncle walking up. We have all this video, but no one has anything that shows the beginning to the end. See, no one. The police didn't have any video cameras on their cruisers.
But if witnesses are saying the same thing, you know,
all their thoughts couldn't be
confused of what they saw. Everybody's saying the same thing.
Okay, look.
Everybody couldn't.
Look, I just want you to take a balanced look at this thing. You know, you're in a black. Come on now, you're in an African. You're in a black community. Okay. Now everybody not, you know, they already know that the police is against them, they're against the police, what have you. So automatically, if one of my friends gets shot, automatically I'm saying the policeman is wrong. You understand? You see my point?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's on a daily basis, that is what I see. Now,
well, if I
Big Mike Mills done, like I say, pushed the door on him or what have you, and started running. And here's another thing that, you know, he's had three autopsies on this young man.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them said anything about him having his hand raised. They said he may have been balled over, but none of them said anything about having his arms raised up. Nobody has, there is speculation that he may have been given up, but there's nothing definite about that either. So once again, we have a lot of circumstantial testimony and eyewitnesses that leave more questions than answers.
All right, but listen, talk. I'm not a trained police officer. I didn't go to school for it, but I think it's just a reasonable police officer with common sense, and I'm all for it 100%. The only reason I think they should be pulling out their gun to kill someone if their life is in danger. That sounds like just pure off of the head, top of the head, common sense. I'm a police officer. I'm a shoot to kill because the person I'm apprehending has some kind of, has some kind of weapon. It was a Pepsi bottle. I thought it was a gun. It was et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That should be the only reason police officers are pulling guns to kill people. My life was in danger and I felt threat. And I can prove it.
Okay. Well, you know, if you look at the officer wasn't that a very big individual. You and Mike was what they say Mr. Brown was 6'4", 300 pounds or something like that. So this was a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right.
And I think I spoke Friday about the adrenaline, what happens when you're, number one, you get in a confrontation. You know, adrenaline is something that drives you to do some crazy stuff. Now, once again, we're missing two parts of this story. All right, only thing we can say is eventually Mike was facing the cop. Okay, he was facing him. Now, was he facing him going down, you know, because he'd been hit, or was he facing him as in getting ready to charge him? Now, see, and these are the answers, the questions that we may never know get an answer to. We can only look at what's being presented right now and say there's a possibility Big Mike was coming back at the cop. Okay, and you can only say that because of the so-called scuffle that happened prior to him running away. All right? Now, with that being said, now you got this big man coming at you. I done fired three, four shots, and only thing he can do is kneel. Only thing he's doing is kneeling. Now that's a problem, because number one, he's a whole lot bigger than me, and I already know I can. You know, me and him one on one, he's gonna drag my behind. So now once again, the adrenaline is building. Now you must understand, all law enforcement are taught now, shoot to kill. They're not trying to shoot to hurt you, and because too many of them have too many departments have been sued, you know, by the criminals they actually shot to stop. So now they are taught to empty their weapons and shoot to kill.
Okay,
so now,
I believe.
Hold up, Chris. Now, so if you look at all those aspects of it, you know, you just can't say that it was just because if this cop fell for his life and the adrenaline was flowing, you know, and Big Mike had adrenaline flowing, which probably explained why he turned around and was facing the cop and wouldn't go down as easily as, you know, many would expect. Then you had a confrontation that was about to happen, and it was all fueled off adrenaline. Of course, these are my opinions, okay. People. Don't. You know, I'm just saying these are my theories, of course. But go ahead.
Okay, from what I'm seeing, the police, you say the police are taught to shoot to kill. From what I'm seeing, they're taught to shoot black men to kill. Again, they're not taught to shoot to kill white people. You see it on cops, how they handle. I see it in the communities around the city where I'm from. They're treated differently. Now, when it comes to adrenaline, there is some kind of training that they have to know the reason, to know the difference between reasoning or how to put yourself. Is this a situation I need adrenaline, or is this a situation I need to just relax and calm down? You know, hey, my lady was pulled over by the police Friday. Simple situation. Now, if this police officer had an adrenaline of how the police officer handled Mike Brown, my lady been dead by now. But all he just got pulled over for something was wrong with her life. And the police officer gave her a warning and said calmly, you know, just, she called me after it. Hey, you know, the police officer said, this is a warning, just get it fixed. And you'll be all right. Now, if he had that same adrenaline, step out the car right now, putting the gun up to her head, along with the children, what happened in Los Angeles, the police officers pulled out the little babies in the back seat with a gun, what they going to do? That's just criminally insane to be having a high adrenaline for no reason. It's just not called for. And then they had the autopsy showed that Mike Brown was shot twice in the back of the head. Where was the fear of the police officer then to defend and protect himself? Okay. It was just uncalled for, unreasonable, adrenaline that the police officer had. He had no self-control. You know, the police department today, some of these police officers are just out of control. They don't think before they go into a situation. They just go head in first. Like, I don't know. You know, if I had an adrenaline like a police officer, I've been locked up about 4, 5, 6 times about somebody didn't say, hey, what you say about my mama? What? You don't like me? Let's fight. I mean, that's just insane. That's just an insane person that has no control over their thoughts. And I really think that the community is not safe with a person out there in the community like that. That just the slightest thing just snaps. They just snap from the slightest thing. You know, you looked at me wrong. Bah, 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 bah.
All right. Well, you know what, Chris? I understand what you're saying. But number one, you cannot control adrenaline. You just can't do it. If it could, if you would, the pro athletes that have them cornered, the market cornered. But you can't do it. You know, that's just something happens out of the situation. Now, as far as your girl getting pulled over, you know, she didn't present any type of problems to the officer, did she?
No, she said, what's the problem? Hello, how you doing?
Exactly.
I'll take care of it. But
exactly.
If I had an adrenaline like that, I mean, if I had an adrenaline like a police officer, here's the thing. It's a saying that goes around the city. You might have heard it or not. When I was growing up, I was always told, learn how to pick your battles. You know, is this worth getting upset? Is this worth so-called fighting the power or going to the movement or doing the march or standing up for this? Is it worth it? Or should I put myself in a situation knowing that I can get hurt or I might hurt somebody? You know, and that has saved me. That has gotten me out of a lot of situations. Just, you know what, man, I ain't got time for this. I'm gone. You know what, you tripping, you know. And not to get off the subject, but based on what I'm talking about, a lot of people, including women, need to do that. Women are finding themselves in situations where you know, you're constantly provoking this man. I'm particularly talking about, you know, a man being triggered off. Just, ladies, walk away. Because there's no way, there's not too many women that can really hurt a man more than he can hurt you. So just walk away, learn how to pick your battles, say a few words, call him a B-word or whatever, your punk ass, don't take care of your baby, enough, or whatever case may be, you cheated on me, leave it alone and walk away. Just
wait a minute.
Police officers need to just sit down and look at the situation and go, okay, I do got the badge, and I do got the gun. Do I really need to show I'm the big bad man in the neighborhood, the big bad wolf in the neighborhood? And if I do this, what will be the outcome? Can I get away with it, or I'm going to be in a lot of trouble?
Mike, that is called critical thinking, okay?
Uh-huh.
And let's be honest, this generation, critical thinking is not one of their major pluses. Okay?
Sorry, you got me on that. Yes.
Okay, so... A lot of people will say, well, they're fed up and they're this and that. No, they just don't think. And they rather confront because 9 times out of 10, they with their boys or what have you. And, you know, they can't be, let's be honest, they can't be shown they're a punk. Okay. So if that's the case, then, well, I'm going to have to just, you know, go for what I know. Little do they know that they're placing themselves in one heck of a position because officers are scared of young urban black youth. Let's be honest with that. That's not a secret either. You know, so if there's any chance that there's something being spouted or a flex move or a sudden move, then the officer is automatically on the defensive. And we have to educate our young men and young ladies that is not what you need to do. Now, you mentioned they don't do white individuals, you know, like that when they pull them over because majority of them react to the officers in a different way.
I was waiting for you to say that. Okay, I've seen it myself, and I've heard it. They get out, white folks that's drunk, get out the car. What the hell do you want? What are you pulling me over for? Get off me. I've seen it so many times.
In fact, there was one in Austin, Texas. She was the state attorney, and they put her in one of them little chairs, you know, when they want to act right and you want to speak. They tied her behind her. They put her in the chair. And well, that's true. But she was Hispanic, so I guess that's not a good example. But hold on, I got two more individuals I need to bring in.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You could, but before I do, I want to ask Stephanie if she has anything she want to add to it.
That was a lot that y'all just did. So a lot. I'm on both sides of the fence. I'm a person I can sit on the outside and see both perspectives, and I see where you both are coming from. I feel as if Chris is coming from an actual black perspective, but I feel as if you're actually coming from the logical, worldly perspective, and I can understand both of them. I mean, at this point in time, I believe that there is racism going on. I believe that if you are a black individual, regardless of how you react to the police, you're still going to get mistreated. Why do I know that? Because I'm an African American who sounds as if she's white. So if I am talking to a police officer and they're still giving me hell and shit going back and forth, well, guess what? Now I'm about to go back to being my ghetto black self because I'm trying to respect you and what you're doing, and you can't respect me. And I'm just a little girl in a little Toyota Corolla driving around minding my business, but because I got three boys in the car, you want to pull me over, stuff like that. So I feel where Chris is coming from, but I also feel as if white people do react to police differently, but it's because they are privileged. They know that they're privileged, and they know they're not going to get in trouble. I just saw a video this morning of this white boy who got tased like 7 times. He assaulted a police officer, tried to take his gun, and they all took him down. It took 7 police officers to take him down. No one shot him. He took the gun and he shot in the air. He didn't hit nobody, and all they charged him with was assault to police officer. And this just came out today. So I'm just trying to figure out what the hell. That can be a black person. Black person come in, he charged for a gun. It's a shot in the back. So you always got to look at both sides of the story. But in the day, you got to take it person by person and case by case, because Mike Brown's case is different from Trayvon's case. They're very similar, but two different incidents, two different areas, two different people.
Okay. That's good. All right. Thank you, Stephanie. And let me bring these two other individuals in here. Well, I'm going to bring 111 in and area code 626. Welcome to the show. What do y'all have for Mr. Talk today?
Hey,
Mr. Talk.
Hi.
Hey, good to hear you guys.
Hey, listening to Chris, I don't know if he's aware that the Zimmerman story is a fake. It was put on a satire website, the National Reporter.
Okay, I didn't know that. Didn't know.
It's a complete joke. You got to be careful what you read on the internet.
Someone told me this. So.
Yeah, and they spread it all over Facebook, apparently. That's a fake story.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Jokes on all of us, I guess. Yeah.
All right. So what else you got for me, Mr. Beasley? Oh, that's it.
That's it. The police are out of control. We see that. But, you know, you got to be real careful about what you read, because there's stories out there that are made to inflame people. But that's a satirical website. And it looks legitimate, but it's not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I got it. Yeah. Okay.
All right. And you all right out there in California? I don't know how far you was from the quake, but you okay?
Oh, yeah. Actually, that happened up north a few hours away. So I thought at least out here we feel a tremor or something, but thank God, nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I wanted to say this. You guys may, I just caught the tail end. You may have already went over it. As far as Michael Brown and the box of cigars, I'm trying to figure out what happened to that box of cigars. I mean, they should be scattered all over the place if he sold them, right?
Well.
You know, because he wouldn't have had time to go home, you know, and drop them off, come back out. So did he allegedly charge the officer with a box of cigars under his arm? Did he hide it in his shirt? I mean, whatever happens to this alleged box of cigars?
Well, if you look at the video, it seems as though he gave them to his little friend.
Yeah, so the friend, they would be somewhere. You understand? They would be scattered somewhere.
Well, no, because his friend ran. So he could have ran with the cigars.
Yeah, but to me, they were not that important. You know what I mean? They were not like a box of diamonds. You know, you would just drop them. You know, it's just me. If I see my friend getting murdered like that, you know, I'm going to drop those cigars and keep it moving. You know, but I just thought that was interesting that, you know what I mean, it's just, I don't know. And then I just have a problem with people saying, you know, oh, he charged at me. He reached for my weapon. It's like, come on now, these excuses, if you were to believe the media, you would think it's a whole bunch of black men out there that just want to die. You know, you know, he charged at me like they're RoboCop or something. You know what I'm saying? And then shooting them so many times like you're killing a zombie. That's something that you do on The Walking Dead. You don't do that. You know, you understand? It's like, come on, is it really necessary to, you know, shoot people that many times?
Well, I mean, you know, they're taught to empty their weapon.
Well, but you know what, though? But they didn't empty it in Colorado, though. In the movie theater, he's still living. It's kind of like, I think when it comes to adrenaline rush, and remember, too, the gentleman that tried to scale the fence of the White House. He was captured alive, whether as a black woman that has a kid in her car, she was, you know, killed.
Right. Mm. Well, see,
So it's kind of like adrenaline rush. I think it all depends sometimes on who you are.
Yeah, well, you know what, Lisa? I mean, actually, you know, when it comes to, those scenarios you just gave, you know, the young lady in Washington, D.C. that, you know, was shot in her car, and the White House, that's totally something totally different. Okay.
Or even Hinckley. Yeah. Remember the man that tried to assassinate Ronald Reagan? He was taken alive.
Well, yeah. Yeah, he was. He was. But, you know, but you have to look. See, I understand.
And the guy who shot Kennedy.
Huh? Say what?
And the guy who shot Kennedy. They carefully made sure that he was okay.
Mm-hmm. Robert Kennedy. Yeah, Sirhan, Sirhan. He's still in prison.
No, I think he did.
Oh, okay.
Sirhan, Sirhan. No, Sirhan, Sirhan is still living.
You sure? I think I heard something a couple of years ago.
Really?
We'll research and find that out. But anyway, back to Michael Brown and this situation here. You know, it's very easy to look at it one way or the other. It is. You know, and I guess, you know, a certain age group is going to look at it in one light, and another age and an older age group is going to look at it in another light, because we've been on both sides of the aisle, basically. You're just going to put it, we've been on both sides of the aisle. So how can, you know, and, well, I'm back to the original question that I posed that Stephanie, you know, had a response to. You know, if we know this is going on, okay, and like I said, even, you know, after the memorial, the homegoing service of Michael Brown today, this is a conversation or a dialogue that need not end. You know, we need to keep talking about it and educating our own so things like this can stop happening.
But what, you know, can we do, though? Like, I have a daughter. What do I tell her? How do I educate her? I mean, if a cop wants to kill her, he's going to kill her.
No, he's not. Not if your daughter is aware of the little things that she can do to not agitate a situation.
No, but like say, for instance, with Trayvon Martin, me personally, I don't think he did anything to agitate the situation. He did what I taught my daughter. When someone's rolling up on you slowly and they're not identifying themselves and you don't know who they are, you start running.
Well, you know, you can always.
That's what I taught my daughter.
Well, that's a good thing. Well, then again, you
can
always.
Look,
in that situation, once again, in that situation, you know, you had an individual that just was, for lack of a better word, determined to stop a young black man, okay? It was just downright racist, okay? We're going to go on and say what it was. It was just downright racial. However, being that he had been to the police academy, you know, and he was the so-called block commander whatever. No, he was aware of the law and what was needed to be said in order to get himself out of it. You see? And the law in Florida at the time protected him. So, you know, that's what it is. But as far as the normal kid, I mean, the normal child, you know, you can only educate them and let them know, look, this is what's going on. This is how you need to act. And constantly, don't just tell them one time and say, okay, they got it. You have to keep drilling in them and show them examples of what's going on out there. You know, a lot of times we baby our kids and we don't want them to know, you know, exactly.
Oh, no, because my daughter is aware, but the thing is, not only does she have to be aware of the police, now it's civilians. Someone can pull her head off at any time, but what I'm saying is, how can you avoid that? Because it used to be we could tell our kids, you know how they say, well, you need to pull your pants up, you need to don't do this, don't do that, okay, but there are some that don't do that, and they still end up getting murdered anyway. And that's what scares me the most.
Well, here's the situation. I don't know if you were on. I was telling Tiffany. My fiance, my girlfriend, my lady, she got pulled over by the police. And he was calling, he walked up to the car and told her that her light is out. He could get it fixed. The only thing I didn't like about the situation, there were four police cars surrounded the car, and there was one police officer on the driver's side. It was just her in the car by herself, and another police officer on the passenger side, you know, with two police officers by their car standing outside the car.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, that's all that alien even called for. She said, I didn't do much movement because she has asthma, and she was scared. So
I can imagine.
Her adrenaline was up. So she reached for her inhaler, if that's what it's called, out the glove compartment.
Mm-hmm.
The cop going towards the passenger side automatically started reaching for his holster with the gun.
Mm.
I said, oh, see, it's going to be silent. She said, I need very little movement.
Okay.
So
wow.
Try not to do too much movement or communicate with the police. I'm learning and just make short statements. Yes, no, I don't know. Thank you. Try to be very calm and courteous. Use common courtesy as much as possible. You know,
Hold on, Chris. See, I kind of understand that train of thought there, because you know there's a lot of cases where you know drug dealers, that's what they do. You know, and,
mm-hmm.
but okay, who's in the win? Lisa, you in the win again?
Oh, I'm outside. I'm sorry.
Yeah, see, I know who it is. But anyway, you know, like a week or two ago, I was coming back from Florida, and about 4 o'clock in the morning, it was around 4 in the morning, you know, I got pulled over in Louisiana, you know, so.
Oh, wow.
You know, so I'm just sitting in the car. I didn't move, you know. Number one, I turned on my dome light, so he see, you know, ain't nothing funny going on. And I just sat there. I took my hands and put it across the seat so he can see my hand and head up hanging out the window. And I just sat there and waited. You know, then the command came, drive, step out your vehicle and, you know, with your license and your registration. I did that. Walk back to the vehicle. You know, we talked for a few minutes. He checked. And then, you know, he gave me my citation, and I was on my way. And it was just that simple.
Yeah, less is more. Don't make a long call and say, hey, man, I'm just kicking it, getting ready. See, now you're in trouble. I'm with that. Right. But the police don't want to hear all that. See, now my drilling is up.
That's
now my drilling is up because this guy wants to talk to me, or this woman wants to talk to me about where they been, how they been, and why they being pulled over. I'm a police officer. Let me ask all the questions, and it's either yes or no. Anything after that is going to be one. So I can see where police officers come from. Now, I'm not just, you know, saying all police officers are bad and abusive, but look, people, less is more, just like Mr. Talk did. Let me see the license. All right. Let me see this. Let me see that. I'll be back. Here you go. Have a nice day. That's all it takes.
But what if you don't know why you were pulled over? I've gotten pulled over. I had 4 cops on my car, and I had no idea what I did wrong, and that's why I did ask.
Until they tell you why you was pulled over. Don't get into, you know, everything's legit. Why are you pulling me over? I wouldn't do all that.
No, first of all, I'm not going to yell at a cop.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of scary when you're not doing anything, and then a cop pulls you over, and you're with your child, and you have 4 cops on you.
No, I'm talking about as far as having a conversation. These people are not my friends. I'll just sit there and won't say nothing. I'll wait till they speak. Okay, yes, no, I didn't know that. I'm sorry. And that's all we need to talk about.
Yeah, and you know, in some cities, believe it or not, I guess it's part of the police department's criteria that, you know, more than one car is called. Because I know in Jacksonville, they travel in twos. You know, they automatically travel in twos. You know, so if you get pulled over by one, there's automatically going to be a second car there. And the same here.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, they do that in
Hollywood.
Excuse me, say what?
I was just saying they do that in Hollywood. They will have four motorcycle cops pull you over, and I've gotten pulled over in Hollywood so many times. Why? Because I'm driving all black. Here, point blank.
Right.
Do they ever say why they're pulling you over so many times?
They love to ask the question, do you know why I'm pulling you over today? And I'm a smart ass.
Exactly.
I simply say, no, do you? And then they go, license and registration. They never want to go forward. And then that's when I ask, okay, what am I going to put over for? Oh, you didn't use your right blinker. Or oh, we thought someone was smoking a cigarette. We thought that you were smoking. Or you were kind of, you know, going across the line. Not you. In Hollywood, it's like it's one lane per direction. Therefore, it's really hard with cars parked all along the sidewalk on each side and a car coming one direction and you're going the other direction to even really swerve, because if you swerve, you're going to hit something, period, and point blank.
Yeah. And sometimes I wonder, do they pull you over like that, almost like to put fear in you? Like,
they
I
do.
Can pull you over for nothing, and I'm just going to make up something real quick.
Well, you know what? And here's another thing also. A lot of them do it hoping they'll come up on something good, you know. Yeah, because they'll have, had a long day, and let me pull, hey, let's see what they got. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we'll come up with a good
I'm looking at it as me being a police officer right now, too. This is true, and this is my right. I can do that. I can pull over anybody when I get ready, and I want to see what's going on. They have the state. They look suspect. Hey, I've seen this car drive around this block four times with the same people in it. What's going on? See, I would do that, too.
That's not what's happening, though. That's legitimate what you're saying, but that's not happening.
Yeah,
I was in the neighborhood four times.
Right.
I just left Wendy's to get me something to eat. So I was circling the neighborhood four times, and I don't think Michael Brown kept circling the neighborhood four or five times. Because legitimate.
I
just think that less is more, and maybe Michael Brown, and I'm looking at both sides, too. You know, hey, he probably... Sometimes, just close your mouth. Be quiet. You know, he probably run off the mouth.
Walmart,
hey, man, I'm just kicking this from
the
store, man. Why are you bothering me? All that ain't necessary. The police ask you, what are you doing around here?
Yeah, you know,
just say what you gotta say and go.
That got murdered in Walmart by the police.
Really?
No,
that happened a few days after in Ohio. It just happened a few days before, because someone in the store called 911 and said it was this blind guy in there with a gun.
His name was John Crawford.
Wow.
Yeah, so what do you do in that case? You know, because we always think that the
victim
is popping off at the mouth, but a lot of times they're not popping off at the mouth. So what do you do when you're murdered in a Walmart?
They said that he was carrying an air rifle, and they supposedly said that the man did not. They tried to tell him two times something. I'm not too sure what they're calling, but they tried to command him two times to put it down or something. And I guess the man didn't hear him. But as the stories I've been reading is the fact that he was on the phone. He could not hear. He was not paying attention. Granted, there's a little skepticism in that story, but still, the fact of the matter is, how did he even get into the damn Walmart with a gun, first and foremost?
Oh, no, he didn't. That's the thing.
He
was, because at some Walmart, they do sell guns and stuff like that in some states, because they were saying they don't know if he was in the toy section or he was over there where the pellet guns are located. But someone evidently in Walmart freaked out.
Well, you know what? That just goes to prove the oversensitive sensitization of the American public. You know, they have the government has fed us so much with this bad and this bad, and you have to look out for that, to where people, you know, they're not even thinking no more. If they think something is wrong, automatically, you know, it's bad, and they call the police. Yeah, reacting. Nobody's asking any questions, and that is where a lot of the issue is from. You know, no one is really, you know, trying to find out exactly what's going on. You know, and a lot of these pellet guns or air rifle guns or paintball guns, they look real, except for the tip on the end. But if the normal citizen is not aware of that. Most of them think it's real, and then that's where the problem comes in at.
Yeah,
hold on,
I think.
No, go ahead and finish before I bring this other person in.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I think as far as the American public, I think it all depends on the person, because there's been a lot of instances where people have fake guns. They don't get murdered. However, when it comes to a certain other group of people, they end up getting murdered immediately without even an explanation.
Well, it depends on what part of the city and country you're in, okay? Let me bring 111 in here real fast. All right, 111, welcome to the show. What you have for me today?
Hey, thought I'd join in on the conversation.
Mm. Well, hello, Joe. Glad you can make it.
Hey, Eric. So, it's the Ferguson. Okay. Okay, so if a person has a pellet gun, he's murdered if he doesn't put it down, if he disobeys the cops.
Okay, yeah. Well, we're actually talking about we started talking about the Michael Brown case, and we've just done expanded out, you know, fanned out into the police and you know how the country has become desensitized or too sensitive and things of that nature. And we just given examples of what has happened here and there. Okay, so yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so yeah, well, look, the cops pretty much suck anyway. Yeah, they suck more towards black people than white people. But if, I've said this 1,000 times, if you don't mess with a person who has a gun, you don't pop off to a person. You say, yes, sir, no, sir, yeah, it might hurt, but it's better to hurt that way and continue to drive on your way than it is to be hurt with a bullet in your head. So it's better just to be polite, especially if you've got a gun. Now, people don't call the cops ordinarily unless they spot something which they think is suspicious. If the cops... Oh, did anybody see the video of the guy that stole 2 cans of soda and got shot down?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
I saw that.
Now, is anybody going to tell me that that guy wasn't a moron, looking for trouble, looking to die?
For over 2 cans of soda.
Yeah, I think there was. I do believe there was some mental illness involved in that situation right there. I really do.
Yeah. Didn't he pull out a knife?
That's what they say. I didn't see it on the video, clearly. I didn't see one, but that was the reports are.
Yeah, because I didn't see it either, but that's what they reported.
Yeah, I didn't see it either, but that we just have to go by what the officer said.
Well, I took a look at it close up. It's possible that the knife came down, but the angle which he was standing before he did charge towards the cops, and he did say, shoot me," which does more than indicate that he was a nut job. If he had a knife, then I'm not going to blame the cops for shooting the guy. If he didn't have a knife, then I have to think there were 2 cops there. They should have tried to subdue him. But if he had a knife,
If he had a knife, would you want him getting that close to you?
Hell no.
I'm just saying. I can't lie. I would have bust one in them too.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to the tasers? I mean, nowadays you never hear nobody tasering anybody anymore unless it's a white American. They don't want to tase anymore.
They're just for white people.
But see, let me understand. Let me show you, explain something to you. And I will right after I do this commercial. I forgot about my commercial. You see, y'all let me mess up my money. Let me do the commercial real fast.
Oh,
and I'll come tell you about these tasers, okay? I'll be right back.
Let's Talk is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information.
They have over 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our URL, which is audibletrial.com/letstalk, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service.
Y'all, hey, make sure you go by there, audibletrial.com/letstalk. All right, you won't get your special unless you put that slash let's talk in there. All right, hey, they got many books, audible books at that. So check them out. You get one free one just for signing up for a free 30-day trial, and you don't have to log in. Ooh. All right, so check that out. Now let's get back to the tasers. Now, you know, I personally have seen individuals get tased, all right? And I'm telling you, the size of Mike Brown, a taser wouldn't have done anything for him but pissed him off. Okay, I'm just going to tell you straight up. It would, you know, really? I've seen guys 180 pounds, and they've taken 3 or 4 tasers, and they stood up trying to fight. And also, there's a big issue with them now because of the possibility of killing people who have heart conditions and things of that nature also. So they're not as freely tasing individuals as they used to. You know, it used to be an example of like, yeah, tase them, but no, they're not going for that anymore. So, you know, you have to look at that. But Mike Brown, Big Mike, 6'4", 300 pounds, oh, they didn't have enough tasing for him. That wouldn't have done anything for him. We have 4 minutes left in the show. For those that want to continue to hear the show live, you need to get on the switchboard, 347-838-8622. Come on, get on the switchboard. We will be going in overtime for a little bit.
Do I hear new callers, or was that Renee still on the
show? No, that's Stephanie. That's Stephanie. She is a new caller. Wait a minute, Joe. For those that can't stay, thank you for joining us today. We do appreciate it, and we'll hopefully see you Wednesday. All right? So, anyway, back to what we were talking about.
I just got to find out who the new people are.
Well, you can wait till I get finished.
All right. Sorry. Just because you're the boss.
That's right. I am the boss. I still got my shotgun. Don't play. But anyway.
Have they heard that yet?
Yeah. So anyway, that's the situation with the tasers. I don't know, you know, and if you've seen them, you know, the little electrodes they come out, but you know, they have to be kind of close to you sometimes. And a lot of times they hit the guys, and you know, they just shrug them off. Especially if they're on some type of narcotic or anything like that. Tasers don't do nothing but piss them off, you know, and then it's hot and popping, you know. So.
Yeah, if you're on meth, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, meth, you know, yeah, something like that. But anyway, you know, I wouldn't know personally, but okay, you know. But now, that the home going ceremony is over with, the question is, what do we do now? You know, what should we do to maintain that this dialogue doesn't die? What should we do?
Continue to talk about it, continue to discuss it, teach it to people that are not aware of the situation. I went to San Diego this weekend, and I was talking about it with my mother sitting in a coffee shop, and someone was all in our conversation, and the man started video recording me, this white older man, and I'm a real, you know, I get crazy. So the first thing, I look at him, and I say, sir, is there something that I can help you with? And he just looked away. And then I said, sir, why are you taping me? And he said, honestly, it was out of no disrespect. It's just I didn't know about this. I said, to know about what? He was like, about the man who was just killed in Ferguson. I was wondering what was all the commotion going on in the news and media. And I said, so you just skipped past it because it's been everywhere. He was like, well, I don't really watch the news. I just, you know, flip it on and flip it off. And I was so astonished. At the same time, I was like, let me hold back. Let me educate this young man. And me and my mother sat in that coffee shop for an hour talking to this white elderly man about what's going on. Come to find out, he has been through so much in his personal life that came like oppression as if like he's an African American, but he had his own oppression in regards to his family and what he's been going through. And I was like, I have to stop jumping so quickly at, as if another race is trying to attack me or degrade me. I have to start trying to listen up more and talk to them. And after I talked to him this weekend, I was like, wow, I have a new perspective for all Caucasians. Like after just that one
there
person.
You go.
You know, because I talked to him and he understood what I was saying. Granted, not all races are going to understand, but the fact that that one man sat there and was listening to us and heard where we were coming from, and he was able to sort of kind of agree with us, I was like, well, this is the start of it, because now you're going to go and teach your grandkids, or you're going to go tell someone else what we talked about today. Why else were you trying to record our conversation?
Well, it's not that there aren't worthwhile criticisms with the white race, of course, but you know, it would be worthwhile if people of both races actually just did lay back a little bit and listen to each other a little bit more.
Yeah, we should have a more opening ear. But I keep saying, education's key. If whatever you hear on Blog Talk Radio, on the news, wherever, you research it for yourself, you find information out for yourself. Don't let someone tell you something and you agree and run with it and tell the whole world. That's misconception, and that's how we get the problems in today's society.
Boy, isn't that what I say all the time? That's what I say all the time, isn't it? You know,
well, I'm gonna start coming on here more and listening to you. So
I feel it. You know, you have to do your own, because you know, like just a minute ago with Beasley and Chris about George Zimmerman. You know, you have to go and check it out, you know, because a lot of people come on Ball Talk, and we've learned that the hard way on this show. You know, a lot of people come on here and tell you any and everything. I mean, any and everything. And you know, I've learned, you know, once I hear it on the show, I make my little notes, and after the show go off, I go and look it up. You know, and if it's not right, I come back and tell you, no, that's not the way it is. You know, and that's the way it should be. You know, you know. Now, if you know, it's interesting that she said about the elderly guy in the coffee shop, because surprisingly, there's a whole lot of people out there like that. Because when I was at the VA last week, you know, I sat and talked to an elderly white woman, and she wasn't aware of a lot of what was going on. You know, so I handed her one of my cards, and, you know, I started talking to her. And she's like, wow, I didn't even know any of this. So maybe that's what it's going to take, you know, just to go out and have conversation with people, just people. You know, don't matter what the color is, just have a conversation with people. You know, of course, there are going to be those that's going to disregard what you're saying and, you know, say whatever. But there are going to be those that are going to be receptive, and that will help continue the dialogue that may be needed to make things better here in this so-called great country. No doubt.
So what do you do, hand out one of your talk audible cards?
Yeah, one of my talk audio cards, yeah. That's right. Yeah. So, you know, but that's not a bad idea. And I'm glad you said that, Stephanie, because I had forgotten about that conversation I had. And a lot of people do not watch the news because of those the stuff like that. You know.
Oh, that was for years. I never watched the news until just recently, because I always knew what the news was going to be. I never bought newspapers until on Sunday, because I knew there was going to be a murder someplace, a rape someplace, a corrupt politician somewhere.
Yeah.
The armament trade going on. It was the same stuff to me. So I didn't watch the news on TV, and I didn't read the newspapers until years ago when I started doing research into the government. Then I found out that, holy shit, politics plays so much of a role in what we do and think. Holy
yes, goodness. Speaking of that, speaking of the government, what do you think about John McCain and Lindsey Graham? They want to put boots on the ground in Syria. What kind of mess is that?
No, both McCain was the guy that said bomb Iran when he was running for president, so he's not exactly in a good mental state. And and Graham's a good old boy who, both of them are assholes.
Okay. All right. And you know what? I thought about something when I was researching something this weekend, and I was researching about they're talking about ISIS and how you have some terrorists that may come over back to United States, have you? And I came up with a great idea. Y'all want to know what this idea is? Cancel their passports.
What?
I mean, just cancel their passports. I mean, then what? They're stuck where they are. I mean, damn. If I can think of that, come on, really? but once again, it's one of those scare tactics that the U.S. government wants you to fall for, so they can go ahead and do whatever they want to do. As you can see, now, ISIS may be here in the United States. They're going to come over. We got people coming over. So now you get Lindsey Graham and this knucklehead McCain talking about, well, I would support boots on the ground in Syria. Hold up. Wait a minute. We just got up out of that whole dang area. Why do we want to go back in? Why? Once again.
Okay.
They're calling it the most, Lindsey, I believe that she said, I think they went to the Bay right after, because I'm from Oakland, so they went to San Francisco right after the earthquake trying to basically compare and use that as a soapbox to speak on the situation. And this dumb Heffa says that it is that they are the most prominent terrorist organization in the world. Really? Is that your excuse? Is that what we're going with? That's your opinion, because we have to remember this is all opinion. This is not no facts. You ain't got no facts on that. Because if we really look into history and really look into what's coming going on, I highly doubt that ISIL or whatever they want to call it, I highly doubt that they're actually the most prominent terrorist organization in the world. There's other organizations in the world that don't nobody know about because they're so damn secret. They send other people out to do their dirty work, and they still sit in the background chilling, eating chips, laughing at Americans.
You are so right. And you know what they call? They call it the CIA, the United States government.
There you go.
That's what they are. But anyway, yes, Chris. Hey. Chris, I know you to sound like you had something to say. Well, I guess not. Okay. But, it's just amazing. And you kind of could see it coming. Once we started so-called sending quote-unquote advisors back into Iraq, that it was eventually somebody wanted to put boots on the ground. Of course, in the same thing, none of their sons or daughters going to be over there. So, we can support. So, I think.
And if they are over there, they're like McCain. They're going to be flying planes like McCain did, bombing innocent people from up high. So he had no resistance. And people are calling him a war hero. And his own POWs have a website up. And they're talking about, they can't prove it, but they strongly are very, very much suspicious of McCain when he was with them at the Hanoi Hilton, how he traded information for comfort. He's no war hero.
Wow. Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mr. Talk, this group called ISIS, right? Is that the name of them?
Yeah, ISIS.
They couldn't have picked a better... They couldn't have picked a better name than ISIS.
Well,
Wait, come on, man. ISIS? I'm really intimidated by it.
Well,
come on, man.
ISIS is just a synonym that somebody used, and they have a...
Oh, it is.
It's an acronym.
It's like an acronym in a way.
Islamic State of Iraqi...
Oh, my goodness.
It's Islamic State of Iraqi and Syria.
Yeah,
that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's why they call
man, you should get them in about 10 minutes, man. ISIS, really?
What do you want them to call themselves? The Justice League?
Yeah. I mean, You know, I wasn't even terrified to move like that. They're an American threat or something. Like, I think I'd go there and knock on the door myself. Look, won't y'all stop, you know, I need to cut this out, okay?
Okay. All right. You know what, though? Yeah, honestly, that's just crazy. And, you know, basically, the only thing they really want, and here's the craziest part about it, the only thing they want is to go back to Muslim law. No, the traditional Muslim law. That's all they want. But, of course, you know, we can't have that. We, of course, like, you know, when the Roman Catholic Church and the conquistadors and all that came over, you know, you can't do that. You have to be this certain religion. We have to, hey, if that's what they want to do, let them do it. You know, that's what I say. You know, my friends and my soldiers, you know, I'm tired of finding out, you know, they get done, he got killed, or, you know, they done passed on. Like, one of my soldiers that I, you know, raised up, because that's what we say in the military, raise them up, you know, his birthday is today. The only problem is he's no longer with us. You know, so, and when you see that kind of stuff, it really hits you as to the toll that is really going on with this nonsense that the political knuckleheads want to play, because none of their kids or anything are involved. In fact, only 20% of Congress, only 20% of Congress members are veterans, just 20%. And that's just 7% of the U.S. population. So, you know, they have no idea, and they don't care, because as long as you got Brown and Root, you got Halliburton, the JBR, and all of them over there, you know, we can tear it up. I mean, my company can go over there and help rebuild it. That helps my portfolio. I make more money, and oh, well. And that's the bottom line. That is. That is the bottom line.
Well, it certainly gives an incentive to the United States to bomb countries and invade them. I mean, how many people were saying back in the 90s when we had the Gulf War I, they were saying if you disrupt what Saddam Hussein has by going over there to help the Kurds, and if you continue to go in there, as people recommended for George Bush I to go in there and continue his destruction, how many people were saying even at that time, if you break it, it's broken. You know, you're going to break up a very stable regime.
Right.
If you go in there, what do you expect? Exactly what we've got now. We've got the Civil War. We've got the rebels. We've got the so-called terrorists. We've got the CIA. We've got everybody. If we just minded our own damn business, none of this would have happened. But you know what? On Rush Limbaugh, some guy, he said he was a 55-year-old veteran, 55. He said he was willing, because he's locked and loaded. He's one of these gung-ho jackasses. He says he and plenty of other soldiers like him who were deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan, they'd be glad to go back over there and wipe out ISIS now. But I'd like to send his ass over there and see how he likes it.
Well, you know what? You know what, Joe? I know I got jumped on when I said this before. And I'm going to tell you straight up, this is what I said, and I'm going to say it again. You know, since everybody wants to put so-called boots on the ground, it's simple. All these so-called Billy badasses that's in prison for killing and raping, send their behinds over there. And if they come out of there alive, then you may get a pardon. You know what I mean?
I'm one of those who don't agree with you on that one.
I agree.
You want the Latin kings, the Mexican gangs to go over there, and those who survive.
Why not?
And those who survive come back over here free as a bird, so that they can start the drug gangs again.
No, because you know, see, here's the catch to that, Joe. You can't stop anybody that don't mind dying. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So they'll be over there. You know that is their mission, to eradicate.
Back over here, what are they going to do? Become good citizens again? Not happening.
Well, Joe, you know, just like they say, we'll deal with that when we get to that point.
We already have. We put them in prison, let them stay there.
You say what?
We put them in prison, let them stay there.
Okay.
I'm not for that type
like
of
dirty dust. Like the Dirty Dozen. Remember the Dirty Dozen?
The movie? I remember the movie. It was a nice movie.
Yeah, so like the Dirty Dozen. Hey, go over there, you do what you got to do. I mean, hey, will you stop the killing over here? No, all the ones out there want to kill each other, say, hey, send them over there. If you kill each other over there, oh, well, it's part of, you know, it's part of the program.
But they got enough of them over there anyway. They got a problem with the gangs. They got gangs who've got their tats, and they've got their hand signals, and they got the bandanas hanging out of their trousers and stuff. They already have that problem over there.
Over where? Where?
Over in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Okay. I must have missed them individuals.
Yeah.
I must have missed
them.
Because I didn't see nobody like that.
Oh, yeah. They got them up on the web.
Oh, okay. All right.
We got pictures of them with their, you know, look at us, we're badasses. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's funny. All right. Okay, I can't even argue with that, Joe.
I had a friend of mine who was forced to go into the army because he was a badass, and they gave him. And this is popular. This is going back years ago. This is a popular thing by judges. If they see a guy who is you know, what they consider teetering on the edge of being a criminal or a menace to society, and he's a juvie, they'll say to the guy, either you go into the service. Or you go to jail. So the guy thought about it for a quick 2 seconds, probably, and he said, "Okay, I'll join the army." So he got in the army. He stayed in there for 2 years and came out. But his experience in the army is nothing to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I heard those stories. I wasn't one of those individuals, but I've heard those stories.
Yeah, I've been around for a while, but
I know. All right, y'all, we're gonna get up out of here. I got to go and prep for my little procedure tomorrow. So I'm gonna let y'all go ahead and get your last words in, and we're gonna start off with the newcomer to the show that I love so much, and she has brought so much insight. Miss Stephanie, your last words, ma'am.
My last words is, at the end of the day, we as African-Americans are stereotyped not just by the police but by everyone else in America. And as soon as we let go of stereotyping not just African-Americans but other races, maybe then we would be able to come together. But until then, Black people, we need to stick together, unite, and try to educate and change the world. Thank you for allowing me to be on your show. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, and you're welcome to come back anytime. All right. Thank you, Stephanie. All right, Chris, you up. All right, Chris, are you there? Okay, we got an issue with Chris, so we'll be back. All right, Miss Lisa. Miss Lisa? Okay. Maybe this is a problem with me. Joe, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
All right, my last words are, take it easy, everybody. I'm usually a man of very few words, and that's today as well.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. And I'll see you Wednesday as well. All right. One more time. Miss Lisa, are you there? Going once. Lisa? Going twice. She must have herself on mute because I don't hear the traffic. All right. Miss Lisa is not there. All right. But anyway, thank you for joining us today. All right. Once again, a great show. You know, we want to welcome, we want to show Miss Lisa, Lord have mercy. We want to show Miss Stephanie some love for her first time on the show. And don't forget to hit follow, Lisa, you know. I already got you, so we good. And thank you once again for your input. All right, y'all. Whew. You know, as far as my last words, it's simple. You know, after watching the going home ceremony of Michael Brown and watching the many different speakers that stood in the pulpit and, you know, made their different remarks, it's easy to get away from the main issue of what is going on. And that's just inequality, stereotyping, and the division that this country has always, always been has been run by division. And, you know, as we spoke here on the show, you know, you're amazed at how there are so many people out there that feel or think that everything is okay. Everything is fine here. You know, there's no disillusion. I mean, there's, you know, there's no division. There's no such thing as stereotyping. You know, there law enforcement is all good. The military is here to defend and protect the country. Our government is trustworthy. But that's not the case. That is not the case. You know, we're being lied to on a daily basis. Daily basis. Daily basis. What can we do? Can you to let each other know that a change needs to happen, and the only way we can do this is by talking to each other, communicating, breaking that gap, bridging that gap. Because there is a gap between the younger generation and the older generation. You know, there's a gap that needs to be bridged also. It is. Because if we have to start there. We have to. Once we bridge that gap, then we can work on bridging the gap between the races. I know some of y'all like that don't make sense, but it does. It does. Because right now, the younger black community, the younger people, you know, they have one ideology. The older black generation has another ideology, totally different. Some kind of way we have to merge those ideologies together to come up with one solid ideology to move forward to attack this thing that is called racism and prejudice and it'll build up like a big snowball. You know, the more we work at it, the more the bigger it gets. So eventually we will come up with a solution. A viable solution that will last, that just won't be temporary. That's all I got for you. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Tomorrow there will be no show. I have a procedure that I must take care of. But we'll be back Wednesday. That's right. Wednesday at 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern. Also, if you want to send me a message, you can send it to, you can email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. You can go to my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Also, we have the Twitter account, Driven for Life 62. And let's see, what else is there? You can hit the follow. Please follow me on my page on here on Let's Talk. I do appreciate that also. And you can leave me a message on right here on Blog Talk Radio as well. So those are all the ways you can contact me, and trust me, I will get back with you. I always do. But once again, I want to thank everybody for joining me today, and I hope everybody have a wonderful afternoon and a better tomorrow, and we'll see you Wednesday. We're going to take you out of here with some Earth, Wind, and Fire. All right, y'all, till Wednesday. Y'all have a great one. I'm gone.